Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Gen Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? Man, oh man, it feels like forever since we've been in the seats with you guys, but we are happy to be back again talking about the Super Bowl showdown picks. It's Super Bowl Sunday. We can say Super Bowl, right, boys? I'm not into that big game nonsense. Who cares? I mean, Godfather, pay the fine. Pay the fine if they come after us. It's no big deal. It's the DGen Nation podcast, and we're back yet again. Again, we're talking the Super Bowl showdown picks with you guys on DraftKings, as we always do here. And I'm excited to have it be a full house. I mean, we got Matty D back in the chair. Matty 2v2. Matty gets buckets. He had to take some time off, but he's back to talk Super Bowl, and it wouldn't be a show without him. Matty, welcome on in. And Kevin Steele, the Godfather himself, you guys already know what time it is. At Fantasy Route 13 is where you can find him on Twitter, and next Matty D is at Matty DFS on Twitter. Next, boys, we've made it all the way to the end of the season. It's Super Bowl Sunday in a couple of days. How we feeling? How we doing? Matty, it's been a long time since the people have heard from you. What's going on over there?
Yeah, all's good. I think the last 2 weeks ago I wasn't feeling great, so it was a nice ugly two-game championship slate. That good thing I didn't jump on, because my picks were both wrong. I picked Washington and the Bills.
That's right. And that's right.
I clearly was wrong about both. the Washington game, actually, it was playing, you know, closer than the score had indicated. You know, Washington gave away a couple fumbles, yeah. But yeah, you know, at one point it was, I think, 14-12 Washington early. You know, so
turnovers will do you in.
Yeah, turnovers will do you in. You fumble the ball three times, it's gonna do you in. And Saquon obviously had a couple of really big runs. So I think that we got the two best teams from both sides for sure here in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, it's tough to say that, right, with the way Philly's been playing. But you know, these two teams, like, you know, I think if you said at some point in the regular season, and once we were getting towards the end, that these would be the two final teams in the dance yet again, you know, it's hard to bet against the Chiefs, of course, every year. But like, you know, the Chiefs were looking, you know, dead in the water. So many one score games that they won in the regular season. I know people were thinking that their time might come to an end, for sure, especially with the Bengals getting hot right towards the end and people thinking they might make a run in the playoffs and what have you. And then the Eagles, like, you know, I think that they kind of were just like the forgotten behemoth of it all, putting up numbers, but Jalen gets hurt, you know, a little bit, even with Saquon doing his thing. And it's like, oh, you know, it's Detroit's hot and Minnesota's hot, and how's Philly going to end up getting there? And, you know, you look at this team and the way that they've been compiled, and Sirianni does it yet again. I mean, finds a way to get this team into the big game, and we have a rematch from a couple of years ago. So this is going to be a fun one to talk about, chop it up with. And shout out to all the people who are rocking along with us. Again, it's the DGen Nation pod. We're talking about NFL DFS for the Super Bowl showdown lineup slate, and it's a fun one to get in. Kev, let's welcome you in here and talk about your team, who's potentially going for a three-peat, could be the first three-peat in NFL history. And you know, it's going to be an interesting build for showdown, I feel like, because we do have so many star pieces on both sides of the ball. You know, it's going to be hard to jam in all the studs that people want to, so we're definitely going to have to do some bargain hunting. But talk to the people, man. How are you feeling about this game, and what's got you excited for it?
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not the matchup people wanted. You know, everybody wanted the, like, Lions or Commanders and Bills. But I think it's going to be a good matchup. I mean, obviously, you know, Chiefs are in it again. I know people are tired of seeing the Chiefs, but yeah, I mean, beat them. You know, quit whining about all the other dumb shit that everybody about. Just loser victim mentality of, oh, the referees. Like, stop it. Like, just stop it. Okay, it's getting old. Okay, like it just is.
I love
like.
It. love it.
Makes you sound like a bitch. It really does, you know? Like, if you beat the Chiefs. Like, the funniest part about, like, the last game against the Bills was, like, everybody just glosses over the fact that the Bills didn't have the ball with 3.5 minutes left in that game. Josh Allen had the ball to go down and score the game-winning touchdown that would have ended the game, and they didn't do it. So I don't want to hear about any other call from that game or anything else. Just shut up. Like, you sound like you're just a hater. It's a bunch of haters. So,
hey, man, people love to hate, man. You know, you love to hate on greatness. But, you know, I do think it's, you know, it's a testament. And I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority of this. I'm not necessarily willing to say that Patrick Mahomes is the GOAT just yet. I mean, he's definitely on the trajectory of being, you know, one of the greatest to ever lace them up. The stuff that he's able to do is absolutely incredible. He's on the Mount Rushmore for sure. I have no doubt about
the GOAT.
I mean, yeah, that's fine if you want to say that. And I think, you know, we tend to be victims of the moments, right? And I think it's absolutely greatness. I mean, we're witnessing greatness in front of us. We just did this, though, with Tom Brady. I mean, people act like the Patriots, you know, his Tampa time was like in a bottle. But like the Patriots, I mean, they did it for so long, you know, even without the back-to-back. It was just like incredible how much they were in the mix. And obviously
3-4.
Yeah, right. 3 or 4. And it's like, you know, the Chiefs are definitely in that mix. And like, even if they were to lose the Super Bowl, which I'm not putting my money on whatsoever. But, you know, I think it's still he still has a chance to, you know, get to that plateau with the way that they're going, only 29 years old and on that trajectory. So, I think it's ridiculous for people to say, you know, just hate for whatever reason, because the things that this guy's able to do is absolutely incredible. And we know it's their time to shine. Like, they've wanted to get to this moment. I'm absolutely excited to see this game from that perspective, because this has to be an all out, whatever needs to be done to win the game. Like, they've invested so much into this particular moment here. Like, they cannot go out and lay an egg with, you know, everybody in the world watching this team. You know, they've made it through the regular season with these one score games. They did what they needed to do in the playoffs to handle business when people were doubting them. And so now you get this Philly matchup, which I think is like pretty good for them, you know, in a sense of like a matchup perspective. Kind of what you want, especially you haven't seen this team already before. And I know there's been a lot about the, you know, Spagnuolo defensive side on that front, but the Vic Fangio side, Mahomes has matched up against him a couple times and had some success. So really interested to see this game from that perspective, whether or not we were playing DFS or not. I think it's going to be a great matchup. So let's get into it, guys, and let's break this down, because I think it's real interesting on how you build your lineups here. And for those of you guys who are joining us, if you haven't played Showdown, it's a fun little slate. You know, you have a captain spot with five flex spots. The captain spot is obviously a 1.5 multiplier. So you definitely want a player in that spot who is either going to allow you to jam in the studs. We see people pay down cheap. We see people play the quarterback there because they always have the ball in their hands. I know we're going to see a lot of Saquon captain lineups as well, too. We do have a Millie lineup or a Millie contest this week with a millions of first at $20, 294,000 entries. So, you know, I think DraftKings always gets people, casuals to come back in and play every, you know, Super Bowl is the most bet on sporting event of the year. So this should be fun. But yeah, the Showdown lineups can, you know, they allow for a little bit of a lot more strategy than our regular DFS lineups. So it's going to be a fun one to break down and protect. Maddie, I'll just start off with you, man, and kind of, you know, from the standpoint of the captain spot, right? With the captain spot being so valuable and thinking about how you want to build your lineup, what's going to be a way that you tend to attack it? Knowing that I know you only play a couple lineups every week, and I don't imagine that will change for the Super Bowl. So if you have to, you know, pick one lineup, where's the route that you'd be going?
Yeah, so I think that this game plays towards the under. I'm a believer in the Eagles defense. I think they're good. And the Kansas City offense, you know, they've struggled to eclipse the 30-point mark this season, you know, consistently. And they really only have done it since Hollywood came back. You know, prior to that, it was a lot of, you know, scores in the 20s. So
great.
There's a lot of money coming in on the over. I think like 78% of the tickets right now are on the over on DraftKings, and wow, the total has come down. from what it opened up at. So it just kind of, you know, things like that make me think that, you know, my lean of liking the under here is the right play. Again, I think the Eagles defense is legit. They've got talent at pretty much every spot on that side of the ball. And then on the Eagles offensive side of the ball, they're going to want to run it. I don't think the path to success for them is through the air, though that may be the way that the Chiefs force them to play. And so I just think that that's their least efficient way to scoring points. And so if their defense is good and their offense struggles to score a little bit, it just leads me to liking the under here. Now, with that said, if you go back and look at the last two times the Eagles have played the Chiefs over the last two seasons, one was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and one was in the regular season last year. Smitty has actually led the Eagles in receiving both games. And a big reason for that, A.J. Brown actually did have a good game in the Super Bowl. But last year in the regular season, A.J. Brown got totally shut down. The Chiefs made it a point to stop him, and it has just opened the floodgates for Smitty, almost 100 yards receiving in both games. So I really like Smitty a lot, and he's a uber talented player. You know, you mentioned the captain spot, 1.5 times the salary, 1.5 times the points. A lot of times you want somebody who's going to be close to scoring the most points on the slate. Unless they're a value, which Smitty is, he's a mid-range value for me. So I like Smitty and I like Goddard. Those are probably the two Eagles guys that I would play in the captain. It's for me, I just like Eagles builds in general because it's a consolidated offense. You've got A.J. Brown, you've got Smitty, you've got Goddard, and you've got Barkley. And you're probably playing Jalen Hurts regardless if you're jamming a bunch of Eagles in. So he's just the obvious play there. The Chiefs, on the other hand, we talk about it every single week, right? We like Mahomes every week, just about. But who do you play him with? You know, we like Worthy, we like Hollywood, but it's, you know, it's usually one or the other. It's never both. And recently in the playoffs, it's been Kelsey. So, you right. know, it's, you know, just with how Mahomes has thrown the ball, he's his games of throwing for 400 yards are just over. And I just don't see them doing that against this defense either. So I just like loading up on the Eagles for the sake of I know where the ball is going in that offense, especially if the Chiefs say, hey, we'll slow Saquon down. We're not going to stop him because nobody can stop him. We'll slow him down. We'll force you to throw to beat us. And if they're throwing the ball, there's three pass catchers. It's Goddard, it's Smitty, and it's A.J. Brown. And so I know where the ball is going on the Eagles team. I do not know where the ball is going on the Chiefs. So I almost like the idea of just playing – three or four Eagles with like a Kareem Hunt and Patrick Mahomes on the other side. If you can fit it. I haven't tried to build yet, so I don't know if that's a realistic build, but that would be like my preferred path would be to go that way and just say, you know what, if a random Chief, you know, scores a touchdown, you tip your cap, especially if you're playing like single entry, smaller stuff. If you're playing the large field stuff, you know, take shots on Justin Watson or DeAndre Hopkins or, you know, somebody that can catch a long touchdown Juju. Or catch two touchdowns or Juju. Yeah, you can take shots on those guys. But in the small field, you know, single entry stuff, it's for me, I'm just going to load up Eagles, even though I think it's a lower scoring game. I think that they throw the ball enough here and I know where the ball's going that I think it's just going to lead to fantasy points being scored.
Yeah, I love the Devontae Smith call out there because he's definitely some guy that I've been interested in circling. I mean, he's obviously a discount. You talked about the history there, Maddie. And even in the playoffs, you know, he's definitely A.J. Brown just was able to get going against Washington. But Devonta's definitely been a guy that Hurts has been leaning on and doesn't seem like, you know, with A.J. Brown, it's always like, oh, can he complete the pass to him or what's going on? There's always drama there. But with Devonta, it seems like he's been able to, you know, really make some plays with Hurts, and even with Goddard being back in the mix, it's still been, you know, still been great for him to get going. So I think he's great and definitely serves as a discount to A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's coming in at 9,600 with Devonta Smith at 7,400. So it gets you a lot to do with your lineup. Kev, what are you thinking about the captain spot here? I mean, you know, Maddie's looking at Kareem Hunt. I think that's, you know, super interesting because of what we've seen in the backfield there with Pacheco just being really, you know, the odd man out, so to speak. And, you know, with Vic Fangio's defense here, You know, the numbers will say, you know, even with Mahomes having a pretty solid record, I think he's actually never lost to Vic Fangio on the other side, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 8-0 or something like that. So it's, you know, pretty incredible. But his statistics have actually been, you know, down, so to speak, when facing Vic Fangio. But I did see a stat, I think it was CBS Sports that had put it out, where, you know, against top five defenses in the playoffs, Mahomes is actually, he has like one of the best statistical performances in history outside of like Bart Starr against top five defenses. And they go through like the Rams in the playoffs, the Ravens, what have you. So, and we know that this Eagles defense has been, you know, very stout through this playoff run for them. So it's hard for me to not, you know, want to play Mahomes in some way, shape, or form. I mean, if you look at just the past game, the past Super Bowl with him, you know, the yardage wasn't necessarily there, but he did have three passing touchdowns against his defense. Obviously, a different state there, different players, different coordinator, what have you. But, you know, it's the bright lights. And when the bright lights are on, Patrick Mahomes tends to shine. And, you know, if we do like the Chiefs, which I think all of us are in some way, shape, or form on the Chiefs winning this game, it does feel like, you know, getting some Chiefs exposure there in the captain spot. But how are you attacking this slate from the captain standpoint, at least, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, right now, I mean, for most places, everywhere you look, I mean, it's going to be either Saquon Barkley or Jalen Hurts going to be the highest projected players, you know, on the slate. I think with Saquon being so expensive compared to everybody else, is one of those classic situations we talk about a lot when it comes to showdown, is like, I feel like if you're going to play Saquon, you play him in the captain, in the captain spot, because if he goes nuclear, you're going to need him. He could absolutely nuke this entire slate, but there's also the path where he doesn't. And he goes out and let's say he gets you 15. Is that enough to be in the optimal lineup at being at his cost of $12,000? He's really restrictive in that way. And so like, I feel like the smart way, depending on how many lineups you're entering, that maybe you take a path of either you captain Saquon or you fade him. He's going to be one of the highest owned players. He's going to be his captain ownership is probably going to be the highest on the slate as well. Obviously, he is a home run waiting to happen, but the Chiefs have done a really good job, you know, against the run, especially once you get to the playoffs, especially once you get to the Super Bowl. I mean, last year is a perfect example. Kind of talked about this before, but I mean, Christian McCaffrey got there through the air, you know, 8 passes, 80 yards, a touchdown for him through the air. But on the ground, I think it was 22 carries for 80 yards. Like it was like 3.8 yards per carry. Like the Chiefs just do a very good job trying to take away the run. And so I think that is a path that you could go and trying to get a little bit different, just fading Saquon Barkley, or you're playing him the captain. So I actually brought up the Dallas Goedert call. I really like that. Dallas Goedert has actually been like phenomenal so far throughout this playoff run for the Eagles. He actually leads the team in pretty much everything. Right now, he actually is tied with A.J. Brown with 18 targets over since the playoffs have begun. 15 catches. He leads the team in receiving yards. He's seeing a 26% target share, which is right on point with A.J. Brown. But like you mentioned, like it is such a consolidated offense. I mean, the other pass catchers in this offense, you have Jahan Dotson that has seen 2 targets and Grant Calcaterra has seen 1 target, and that's it. That's the only other people that have seen any targets. So it makes it pretty easy to get there in terms of how consolidated they are. So if you play Dallas Goedert, which is a spot where the Chiefs have struggled all year stopping tight ends, it really opens up the entire field for you, where you can play Hurts, you can play Mahomes, you can play Devonta, you can play Kelsey, and you still have another like $4,500 remaining to do so. Or if you don't want to play Kelsey, you could drop down to Xavier Worthy, who's 8K, and you know that frees up even more money, where you could fit in Hollywood Brown if you want to run a 3x3 here. You know, so I don't mind that. I also think that like maybe getting a little bit different in terms of obviously value plays, which we'll talk about, but like I think Dallas Goedert is definitely in consideration. I like the Devonta Smith call it captain. I think Xavier Worthy sets up really well. The Eagles really try to funnel everything underneath and not allow anything big play. And the Chiefs will absolutely just carve you and just have no problem deconducting their way down the field. And that's exactly the way they utilize Xavier Worthy, getting the ball in his hands in many different ways. And so, like, it's going to be hard for me not to see Xavier Worthy touching the ball a lot in this game. And so I like Xavier Worthy as an option there. He is not, you know, he's not as cheap as Dallas Goedert is at captain, but he's still 12K. It's not terrible at that price, but I don't mind going to him either. I think he's also an option. And then absolutely 100%. Every time Jalen Hurts is on the slate, you can absolutely play Jalen Hurts as the captain. You know, if I'm going to play a running quarterback, and you can also play Patrick Mahomes because these two quarterbacks will definitely, you know, have the ability to run the ball. Patrick Mahomes, once we get to the playoffs, he actually has almost 20 carries over his last two games in the playoffs right now. So you could definitely look at Patrick Mahomes, you know, in the captain spot. And then obviously Jalen Hurts is the same way, like, you know, especially with this week off and he was dealing with a little bit of an injuries, probably helps everybody, but Jalen Hurts could definitely be that guy. I mean, he's somebody that, you know, the Tush Bush could get a couple rushing touchdowns and kind of take away the value, which also that's how, you know, kind of hurts Saquon Barkley too. And that, right. So I think those are the guys that I would definitely be looking at the most.
Who do you guys, if you, so like, let's talk about build construction, right? Like, if you, if you're thinking about it, like, take captain out of it for a second. Like, how many, what do you think is going to be not the optimal, but most likely approach for people to take Maddie if they're building their lineups? Like, are we thinking like three, you know, I think the most optimal, or not optimal, but the most likely approach is somebody's going to say, okay, I want to get three Eagles, three Chiefs in there, right? Like, you want to get Mahomes, Kelce, and like, you know, somebody else, maybe like Kareem Hunt or something. And then you want to get, you know, obviously one of Hurts and Barkley, and then potentially a pass catcher, whoever you can play. And then people start looking at, okay, who's just the cheap other guy that I can play, whether that be an Eagle or a Chief. So I'm really trying to think about like lineup constructions here and how it goes, because we, you know, that's always the name of the game too, especially in the large tournaments, of who you think you're going to be competing with and how many lineups are going to be duped and what have you. Cause showdown's a beast, man. I mean, you know, it's every play freaking matters, you know, even mm-hmm. to the point where it's at the end of the game and like, yeah, Patrick Mahomes captain, but they've already won the game. Are those kneel downs going to matter and take points yep. away from you type of thing? Like so many point, you know, so much of it comes down to where the points are scored and how that's aligned. So how do you feel, Maddie, that that people are going to go in the direction of building out their lineups and what they want to do?
Well, it looks like, just from the ownerships that I'm seeing, it looks like the vast majority, not, I won't say vast majority, but the most popular captains are Mahomes and Barkley. Mahomes is like 18% and Barkley's 15.
Okay.
And those two are the most expensive guys on the slate as well, outside of Hurts, which Hurts is also up there in terms of captain ownership. He's fourth. He's at fourth at 10%. But I think it's going to be, you know, one of those two guys will be the most popular captain builds. And then regardless of which one of those you play, I think the other still gets played in the flex. And all of a sudden you're minimalized on what salary you have. And it's leading to AJ Brown and Devontae Smith getting squeezed. Like, both those guys are coming in under 30%, it looks like, in the flex, which, you know, is not like, that's something I want to take advantage of. We just talked about, right. You know, the Eagles are such a consolidated offense. You don't have to think they're going to win the game for them to score fantasy points. I mean, you know, the Chiefs can spread the ball around. We've seen them do it a zillion times. Last week was the Juju game, like randomly, you know, him and Hopkins had been splitting snaps. You know, maybe this week's the DeAndre Hopkins game. And Hopkins, a guy that's coming in under 10%. Owned. So like, there's just a lot of ways you can play this game very responsibly from an ownership standpoint and still getting guys that are going to touch the ball a lot. So it's Mahomes, Barkley, Worthy, and Hurts are the top four captains that I'm seeing. And Mahomes, Hurts, Worthy, and Kelce are the top four flex, which is interesting because everybody's kind of doing, you know, taking that approach that you like to talk about, Kev, with the really expensive guys, play them in the captain or don't really play them, because Saquon's only coming in at 30% flex ownership. So it does seem like there is minimal Saquon flex interest, which makes sense, because if you're not playing him captain, you're like, well, I don't think he's going to crush. And I don't really want to spend that salary, you know, and if I'm playing Mahomes captain or Hurts captain, I want the pass catchers for those guys. And those guys are expensive. So I get it. But yeah, it's interesting because that usually in these one game slates, I'm like, man, I like what the field's on, but I mean, Goddard captain, from what I'm seeing, is 5% owned, and Smitty captain is 5% owned. And so like, if those two are the guys that I like the best from a point per dollar standpoint. I'm just going to play those guys in the captain. And they allow you, like you were talking about, Kev, it just allows you flexibility when you, the captain Goddard, because you can play both quarterbacks. You can play Smitty. You can play AJ Brown. You can play Worthy. You can play Kelsey. Like, you can play a lot of those guys up at the top with a Goddard captain. And we know we've attacked tight ends against Kansas City for a very long period of time. So yeah, I'm, that's probably the route that I go. Now that we talk about it, now that I see what the field's doing, is probably one of Goddard or Smitty at captain, because Smitty's not that more expensive than Goddard, and we know he's got a ceiling. Goddard's probably got a better likelihood of hitting 15 points, but I think Smitty is, he can get you 30.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the thing that worries me about it, and I haven't, we haven't even talked about my captain, I guess, but, you know, just open for him. And shout out to you, Ugo, coming into the chat. Chiefs offense, you know which player will show up. I mean, yeah, we know what time it is in the playoffs, so what player shows up. It's just they're kind of in that same boat where they kind of spread the ball around, you know, which is ironic, because I do like targeting the Chiefs more for the slate. But because they spread it around so much, it's like, man, should I be on the Philly side? Because I don't have to choose between, correct. I have to choose between four options outside of the quarterback, right? It's the running back, and it's two receivers and the tight end. Like, and that's it. Like, that is where the ball is going. Like, yeah, can Johnny Wilson like catch a red zone touchdown? Okay, sure. Yeah, he gets 7 points, and that might be, you know, optimal, so to speak, in big lineups. But the chances of him being played in some single entry stuff, like, I'm willing to take a chance on that, of like 7 points not really mattering all that much.
And, but like, and it's also possible too. Like, if you, like, let's say you play four Eagles with Mahomes and a random, whether it's Hopkins or Kareem Hunt or somebody, if you just get the one, or like, let's say it's a low scoring game and you get one or two touchdowns, maybe Mahomes runs one in, or he throws one to whichever pass catcher you have. All of a sudden the Chiefs are up 13-0 or 10-0, you know, and it's early and the Eagles have to get away from the run, and you've got four pass catching, you know, or pass game Eagles with Hurts and two or three pass catchers, you know, you don't need touchdowns from the Eagles in that game script, right? You just need those guys to catch a bunch of passes. You know, Smitty all of a sudden's 8 for 80 because they've been trailing the whole game. Right. You know, they're down 17-3 at half or something like that. And it's, you know, Smitty's going 8 for 80 and Goddard's 6 for 60 at halftime. And the Eagles have kicked one field goal. They haven't, because they haven't punched it in. So like, there's a path that it's a low scoring game, but the Eagles, you know, just loading up a concentrated Eagles pass offense can get there if they're trailing. If they're playing from ahead, you know, my game script goes totally out the window because they'll just, you know, I just don't see them throwing a ton. If they're playing with a lead, they'll feed Saquon as much as they possibly can. But
yeah, no, and I think, and Kev, I'll let you come in, but that's kind of like my concern of playing Eagles guys in the captain spot, like outside of Barkley and Hurts, because like normally I'd be with you, Maddie, where it's like, okay, well, it doesn't matter. Like, how many slates have we talked about where it's like, all right, let me just get this production because I think, you know, I think the Chiefs will win this game, and, you know, maybe they're the ones putting up the scoring. So the Eagles are first forced into a throwing scenario, which is great for your Captain Goddard and Devonta lineups. But if those guys don't score, I don't know that that'll be enough, you know, on a slate like this. Like, even if Devonta goes out and gets 8 for 80, but like, if we're getting the Chiefs touchdown, like if Kelsey goes out and gets 2, or Mahomes is putting up, you know, 3 scores, even without getting the yardage, like, it's just going to be, you're just going to see, you know, your teams get passed because it just might not be enough of that production without a score. Now, obviously, if those guys score, that I think that changes it in the mix 100%. And I also like to pair my pass catchers with a quarterback at the captain spot. And I just don't necessarily know that I'll get to that build, at least at this current time right now. I'm not sure what lineups I'm going to be playing and what I'm playing in, but I have some single entry reserved. And I think I want to go the route of Kelsey here in the captain spot, because like Vic Fangio, he's done some great stuff scheming. I mean, we've talked about it before. Like, Vic Fangio's defenses have been really solid, and we know he's going to try and cancel out the one player, right? Which tends to be Kelsey. But Kelsey's playoff performances have been absolutely absurd. And I think it just comes down to, if you think that he'll try and send pressure off after Mahomes or not. Because I think if we could get Mahomes under pressure, under duress, we know that the impromptu plays and the kind of made up plays, right, they tend to go Kelce's route, and he could just be that security blanket and volume. And like, this is a Super Bowl. We know how much he's shown up in these situations time and time again. And I think most people will tend to say, okay, I want Travis Kelce in my lineups, but will they be willing to play him at the captain spot? I'm not sure. He's just coming off of a dud right against Buffalo, and I think that might scare people off. He was super popular in championship week after killing Houston, right? And so like, people might be like, oh, I want exposure to him, but I'm not gonna play my captain. And like, that's when I want to play him at the captain spot, because we know what the opportunity is going to be. I mean, people are betting on Kelce to be Super Bowl MVP, so it's like, if you think that he has a chance to go out there and, you know, catch 8 and put up 100 and score, you know, a touchdown or two, like, get him in the captain spot and just take that ownership discount there with everybody who's going to be playing in the flex and hope that kind of pays off. It's, you know, I'm still trying to figure out lineups that I'm building around that scenario, so to speak. But I think he's kind of one of my favorite Chiefs to get in that spot. I think it's probably him or Kareem Hunt. I want to do Mahomes, but it's kind of tough to build with him at this point in time right now. I might be able to get to a lineup with him, but right now for me, that's where I'm leaning on the Kansas City side. And then I think on the Philly side, it just worries me with those guys if they get into the red zone, Maddie. You know what I'm saying? Because like, I can see the tush push coming, you know, and we just saw Hurt scores 3 and Barkley scores 3. It's so frustrating with this offense, because if they get, you know, down close, it's jam it in, jam it in, jam it in by any means necessary. And we know that Hurts isn't 100%. So it's like, do they want to take a risk of him, you know, making a turnover, you know, through the air, so to speak? And how many times can we run it? Is it 4 down territory for the Eagles when they get into the red zone? So that's what just makes me leery on Eagles pass catchers in the captain spot. But I do get the merit because of what you're able to build around them. Kev, I know you're going to jump in here and kind of talk about that, but I wanted to just kind of, you know, talk that through, because I don't think people are really looking at, you know, I think the matchup stuff kind of gets overblown to me when it comes to a situation like this with the caliber player that Kelce has been. And so I'm not sure what his ownership is at the captain spot right now, but he seems to be the one that, like, you play him at captain 9. And you could just be reaping the benefits.
9%.
So, like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of tough. Like, what happens if he goes out against Buffalo, right, and has a good game? What's his ownership going to be, knowing that he had 2 back-to-back games against Houston? But, like, this dude, the numbers in the playoffs for him are just absolutely insane when you think about it. I think in the Super Bowl too, he's got like over 300 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns in 4 appearances. Like, he just when the lights come on, like, they just have this rapport. And, you know, I think Worthy, you know, it definitely has some merit too, because he can touch the ball from anywhere on the field. But I think right now, if I was doing Kansas City, it'd probably be Kelce 1 for me, then probably Kareem Hunt, just with the salary discount that you could get and thinking about the touchdowns coming on the ground, and then try and get to Mahomes. But he's obviously the more popular one.
So, like I mentioned, I mean, the Eagles really try to consolidate everything, keep everything underneath. And I thought it was pretty interesting the way that the Chiefs utilized Juju Smith-Schuster last week. It was kind of very Rashee Rice type, right? Like a lot of quick hitters, slants, trying to get the ball in his hands. Because Juju Smith-Schuster is certainly not the athlete he used to be, but he still shows. He still has some juice left. And, like, that is something he's always been really good at, is yards after the catch. Like, he's been a yards after the catch monster throughout his entire career. And I think you could see a lot more of what they did last week again this week. And Juju Smith-Schuster is 2K. So, like, it's pretty easy to fit him in there. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't go over, because, like, part of me is like, oh, you know, it could be chasey, because it's not something we've really seen a lot from them to utilize in that this year. But like I've said, when it comes to the Chiefs, like, I knew that you were going to see stuff from them in that Buffalo game that we just haven't seen, because that's what the Chiefs do. Like, throughout the regular season, it's very vanilla. They don't want to really show you anything. They don't show you, open up their bag of tricks. They didn't have to do that against the Texans, because they pretty much manhandled that. And then we saw a lot of different, you know, a different formations, a lot of scheming guys much differently. And so I think it's definitely possible that Juju Smith-Schuster continues. I mean, he saw four targets last week in that game, came really close to almost scoring a touchdown. Like, I don't mind getting to Juju Smith-Schuster because I do think that he's kind of the one guy that if they try to take away Travis Kelce, that's what they're going to do. And they're going to utilize Juju Smith-Schuster in that way. The problem with D-Hop, and I said this about D-Hop before they or when they traded for him, he's not the type of player the Chiefs tend to use in terms of like the way they use them schematically, because he is still very much like a contested catch guy, and that's just not what Patrick Mahomes tends to do. Like, he's not someone that's going to give throw you a deep ball, 50-50 ball. Like, they are much more get the guy in space, get, you know, and get the ball in their hands so they can do stuff with it afterwards. And that's just not really DeAndre Hopkins' game. So I think there's that part that does worry me. But I will say that Juju Smith-Schuster, of all the players that are in, like, the sub-4K range, he's the guy that I probably will have the most exposure to. But I also think, like, a really interesting play could be Samaje Perine as well, who is who's very cheap. It's kind of a – now, I'm not saying go all in, but, like, a player you may – you want to have some exposure to, because – I could see them doing some stuff with him in the passing game because he is still their preferred third down back. He's their best pass catcher or their best pass blocker that they have. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see some stuff with him as well to kind of get the ball out of their hands. Because I think that's going to be what the Chiefs are going to try to do, is get the ball out of Kelce's or Mahomes' hand as quickly as possible. A lot of quick hitting stuff. And so that's where I think it really would highlight somebody like a Juju Smith-Schuster, Xavier Worthy, and then seeing stuff that maybe they do some stuff with Samaje Perine out of the backfield. Like, wouldn't shock me if P. Ryan finished with three catches, 30 yards, and he scored a touchdown. And so, like, I think it's a lot easier to kind of mix in the Chiefs guys in terms of, like, the low-owned value that we're going to want, because there's nobody on the Eagles that I'm really – I mean, maybe you could talk me into, like, a Kenneth Gainwell. Maybe he somehow got there, on a touchdown or, you know, a receiving touchdown or something like that. I know he's questionable, but he's practicing full. He's going to play. But, like, there's nobody else that really excites me on the Eagles side of the ball that I really want to get to. Because on the Chiefs, I mean, you have Juju, even Noah Gray, who's kind of went cold and quiet, you know, here for a while. But, like, overall, in terms of, like, the sub-4K guys, I think it's Juju and I think it's Samaje Perine are the two guys that I would look to mix in.
Yeah, I 100% agree, Kev. I mean, Perine seeing a role on the field, you know, it's like Pacheco is dust right now. So if it's Kareem Hunt or pass catching back Perine, and we know how, you know, how quickly those points can add up in a DK lineup for Perine, just going out there and catching a few balls, he could really get there. Pacheco is done, right? Like, there's no way that this guy can really make it into an optimal lineup this week, can he?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say no way, but like, right. It's not,
I'll say it.
Yeah. It's not, I would say I'm not as worried about Pacheco, and I feel like playing him is just like covering your bases. Like, oh, what if something happened? Because he still has some explosive, like he could find a hole and score a touchdown. I wouldn't bet on it because the Eagles run defense has.
I'd bet on it.
I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign, but the Eagles run defense has been absolutely elite.
Technical defense.
And you just can't run on them. And so that's, for me, that's where I'm kind of like, hey, I could see the Chiefs utilizing a lot of these quick screens and doing stuff like this as an extension of the run versus actually just sitting there running the ball into Jalen Carter, you know, 10 times in a row. Like, it's just not something that happened. We know if the Chiefs are one of the most pass-heavy offenses in the league. I think they were looking at that, like, in the playoffs. Like, all the teams that made the playoffs were all, like, ranked inside the top 10 in rush attempts this year. And then besides the Chiefs were definitely not. And so the Chiefs are going to throw the ball a lot in this game, I feel like. And I think instead of just trying to run the ball over and over again, I think you're going to see them try to do different things to – kind of use the pass as an extension of the run and do some stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Which is what they do it so.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer. Save big money
at Menards. Well, they've been doing it all year, it feels like, but definitely in the postseason, like their pass game is just as good as their run game. And it's so infuriating and frustrating to think about it like that, because it moves down the field, which is why I don't think I can build. I mean, it seems crazy to even say this because it seems to be obvious, but I know he won't be this way, but I'll have 100% Patrick Mahomes. I don't think there's any way that, you know, barring injury, knock on wood, that like you can have a lineup this week that doesn't include him. I'd be much more comfortable putting him into a lineup before I put in Jalen Hurts, just not, and it's health thing considered. You know, last time these two teams met, you know, Jalen Hurts was healthy and this dude was taking the league by storm, and there was no Saquon Barkley to be able to take away his rushing production. He just did everything. So you really wanted to make sure that you got both quarterbacks in. But if you gave me, you know, put a gun to my head and said that you could take one, I'm just going to take Patrick Mahomes 10 times out of 10 over Jalen Hurts in this situation, because of how much production, you know, comes through his hands and then can potentially come through his legs with it being up in the postseason. Maddie, how are you feeling about the flex spots and building out your lineups from the captain spot?
Yeah, I still like going to one of the Eagles guys just because of the consolidation on the offense.
Yeah.
Even if I think the Chiefs win, I still think it's a lower scoring game and touchdowns are not going to be, you know, where one guy's scoring three of them. I think touchdowns get spread out. I think the winning lineup, you're going to be like, I never would have thought of that team. You know, because it's going to be
like Bucker. So like kickers, we're going to have kickers.
Kickers are definitely in play for a lower scoring game. If the teams move the ball with yardage, I mean, you're getting receptions and yards, points that way for your pass catchers. But then they can't punch it in to where the QBs, you know, would be smashing. And, you know, there's four field goals on each side. I mean, it's definitely possible with these two defenses that we have. So I just think this game's going to play a little weird is my take when I think about this game from like a fantasy standpoint. I think the field is going to load up on what you would expect, and that's Mahomes and Barkley and Hurts. And I just think playing this game different than that. Yeah. With going, leaning into the Smitties and the AJ Browns and the Dallas Goddards that are going to go overlooked. That's how I'm going to play it.
Harrison Bucker, captain.
You can absolutely play that. I mean, 350 yarders, they're in a dome. They're in a dome. So, you know, there's no wind inside the dome unless the one side of the stands blow really hard. But
I mean, we've played a ton of showdown. I mean, we play Thursday, Saturday, Sunday night, Monday night. So we played a ton of showdowns. So we've seen quite a few weeks where kicker was optimal captain.
Yeah. And with these two, with these two offenses, like Chiefs and Eagles, right? Like nobody's rushing to play Jake Elliott and Harrison Butker, which I would definitely side with Butker over Elliott, because Elliott's been kind of bad. But, the kickers are absolutely in play here.
Not only that, Maddie, but like I feel more confident. Like the Chiefs have been in such of these positions where like the offense is popular, right? So like people play their offensive pieces, except for Butker. But like, you know, things like the Houston game could happen, right? Like the kick returner, you know, takes a 70-yard kick and you're like, oh, man.
And they go three and out and they kick a field goal.
Smashing. Yeah, and they go three and out and they kick a field goal. And like in showdown, these points, you know, they tend to start to matter.
And you're like, oh, God, it's a 40-yarder. And all of a sudden the kicker's got 4 points in 30 seconds of game time.
And Andy Reid's just not aggressive in that standpoint, because he doesn't have to be, because he's like, oh, well, if we'll take points here and Pat will just get it back.
And the Eagles are not aggressive either unless it's within 2 yards.
Right,
really
right.
1 yard, but they'll go.
But I still think that, like, if it's, you know, if it's a touchdown game, even like
they're kicking field goals.
Sirianni might not kick though with Elliott, which makes me lean
with
Bucker.
Elliott. Yeah, I'm talking about the Chiefs.
I like Bucker. With Bucker. Yeah. I think you're much more apt to get the field goals on that side. But like, unless the Eagles are, you know, up by a touchdown or two, I think that, you know, they get into those situations and it's like, man, if it's 4th and 3 and it's on the, you know, and we have a chance for like a 48 yarder field goal, are we going for it? Are we kicking it? Like, they might be going for it. So yeah, I like Bucker way more than Elliott this week.
I agree. And even though I think it's low scoring, I don't really like the defenses just because I think that both teams do a lot of high percentage stuff and they don't really turn the ball over. I know Mahomes has recently been more prone to turnover worthy plays is what, you know, everybody wants to call them, you know, and throwing passes that could be intercepted or whatever you want to classify it as. So with the Eagles pass rush and their secondary, I would lean to the Eagles defense more, but I think it's a kind of a lower scoring game, I think both teams still move the ball. I just think there may be a little struggle for touchdowns if the Chiefs are able to slow down Saquon.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Yeah, I think I could not do Bucker captain unless I would have to get to like 10 lineups to do it. But, you know, that's the type of lineup, Maddie, I think that you're talking about where it's like, you know, that's the optimal lineup, but I would never play that. But it makes some sense, but especially if you're going with your side, Maddie, right? Like, okay, let me get the dudes who score, you know, the 4 touchdowns that this game will have, but the rest of it comes through kickers. And I just was on the right one.
A game log that I was just looking at from this year, that because what Kev was talking about, right, is how the Chiefs want to attack the Eagles with a lot of just underneath type stuff. If you look at what's weird is they're playing against the team that plays in the dome that they're playing in this weekend. Their game against the Saints earlier this year, the Chiefs won 26-13. Mahomes threw the ball 39 times. Hunt ran the ball 27 times. But what's interesting is Mahomes threw for 331 yards and no touchdowns. Juju Smith-Schuster had 8 targets, 7 catches for 130. And Kelce had 10 targets, 9 catches for 70. So you talk about, you know, they want that. I haven't watched the game film. I don't know how the Saints were playing them on defense. But to me, when you read that game log, it's like they wanted to keep everything in front of them because it was not a worthy game. You know, Rashee Rice was hurt. Right. I think Hardman, you know, he had 4 targets that game, so he played. But like, so they just didn't. They said, we're not going to let the speed guys kill us. You know, you guys can dink and dunk us with Juju and, you know, Kelce underneath the entire game. And so like, Mahomes threw for 330 and 0 touchdowns. They kicked. How many field goals was it? 1, 2, 3, 4 field goals. And they won 26-13. I don't know. That's just how I see this game going. Is yardages are high, touchdowns are low.
And I mean, that's the most that's the way you play showdown, right? Like every lineup needs to like tell a story. Like that's what you're trying to do.
And that's my story. And my story is different than what the field's playing. So that's just what I'm going to roll with.
I feel like you still, if you go your route, Maddie, I think you do need a kicker though.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you're going to, you're
I think I would play, Bucker. I would almost play like Mahomes with one of Kelce and maybe even both Kelce and Juju and Bucker. And then you get the yardage there. With minimal touchdowns, and then on the other side, you just play one of those Eagles pass catchers with Hurts, or I don't know that you could play two of them without Hurts. You'd have to play Hurts, and playing Hurts is your leverage on 1 yard rushes, rushing touchdowns if that happens against Saquon.
I mean that's the tough part because I'm looking at lineups and it's like, okay, so I have 2 Eagles. Like, I built a lineup that has Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert in it, with Kelce at captain. You know, thinking, okay, so the Chiefs go out there. We know that where I'm banking where the touchdowns go. Okay, they can go to Kelce, and then they're playing from behind. but it's like the Eagles, man, like when they get in close, like it makes it tough to not build a lineup without Hurts or Saquon, because they just want to fucking run the ball. Like, it doesn't matter how bad the matchup is for them. This is how they win games. This is their opportunity. So if you had a chance to play one of those guys, who would it be? Like, I told you that the salary was non-exclusive, you know, it's not going to be constrictive. You just have a spot left. Salary doesn't matter. You're playing Hurts or you're playing Saquon. Where are you guys going?
I'm playing Hurts personally, just because I think that's what the Chiefs are going to force the Eagles into on offense. Like, I think Saquon is going to be force fed early, but as the game goes on, I just think the volume is going to be there for the passing game of the Eagles, and Hurts is going to have to throw. And when he drops back, if it's not there, he's going to have to scramble. So
that's fair. Yeah. And I mean, he's been there before, right? I think there's something to be said too, of like it being Saquon's first experience in the Super Bowl. And that's, you know, he's a great player, phenomenal player, like not going to take anything away from him. If I'm building multiple lineups, I'm definitely going to have exposure to Saquon. I'm not even going to try and slander the dude, but it's like, you know, there is a merit to be said of like, he's going to be in there. It's his first time in the Super Bowl. Like, he's going to be excited to be there. I'm not saying he's going to fumble or anything, but it's like, you know, Jalen's been there before. Like, he knows what time it is. He's been there actually against this Chiefs team. So I think he, you know, he has something, you know, in the back of his mind of wanting to go out there, wanting to perform against this team that got the better of him, you know, with him having a lights out game a couple of years back. So yeah, I think I would probably go Hurts as well too, but man, it's like, you know, you're thinking about the Washington game last week and this motherfucker Saquon just, he gets one touch and is able to take it to the, like, what
Washington
is going on here?
Is stinky.
They're terrible. They've been terrible all year. We knew that. And we know, you know, the Chiefs have, they play a little bit better, but you know, you never know, right? So it's like,
yeah,
it's tough.
No,
but yeah,
that's the scary part of fading Saquon, right? Is like, right, you're sweating every
handoff. You know you're done, right? Yeah. You know you'll be done.
You're sweating every handoff because he can house them all.
It's just that simple.
And so, like, that's what, you know, when we talk about, you know, are you fading Saquon, right? Like, yes, we recognize he's probably the best player on the field, you know, this week.
Right.
And it's not a matter of saying we think Saquon's going to suck. It's just saying there's a range of outcomes where the Eagles have to throw the ball to win the game. And that range of outcomes outscores Saquon in that scenario. And so, like, that's, you know, I don't want people to think, you know, we're sitting here saying, you know, oh, Saquon's going to have some horrible game. Cause that's not what I'm trying to say at all. We obviously play a salary cap game and you're only allocated so much points. Or so much dollars that you can assign people, and you need to score the most points with that. So,
absolutely, and you could just be, you know, you think of how you play, and what you're going to be comfortable stomaching, and like if Saquon goes out there and has, you know, an average game, you know, he could actually go out there and rush for, you know, 120, 130, but if he doesn't find the end zone, you could be chilling, you know, based on the way that the rest of the game script goes. So like, what's your tolerance on how you're able to play out the slate, because he's going to be probably the highest owned player on the slate. I would imagine, depending on what tournaments you're playing in, or, you know, cash games you're playing in. If you are playing cash, like, it's going to be so tough for people to not click on Saquon. And it's not like he's priced ridiculously, you know, more expensively than the rest of these players. So people will play Noah Gray. They'll play the kick returner for Kansas City, you know, just to be able to get Saquon into lineups because of what he provides and what he's able to do. I haven't even looked at like optimizers or like what projection systems are saying, but like he's going to be up there. So it just makes it tough, but I'm just going to have to ride with it. I like Kev's call of like, if you're not playing him in the captains, and just fade him, just from an ownership standpoint, feels good. What about some of these other guys, Kev, on Kansas City? You know, who are you feeling? Like, I know you've been on D-Hop pretty much all year, it feels like, since they've gotten him. Is this going to be the game where he's able to score a touchdown? I believe he's 6-1 on some books last time I checked, of scoring a touchdown. It feels pretty solid for him. If they, you know, if this game goes the right way and if it does play to the over, it could be some excitement for, you know, a guy like Hopkins, a guy like Hollywood Brown. We obviously know there's these the other suspects, Noah Gray, Justin Watson, Juju, who you've already touched on, who could get in there. But I think, you know, the two other guys who I'm going to have to keep my eye on are Hopkins versus Hollywood Brown, because those are the two guys outside of Worthy and Kelsey who really have a chance to, you know, break this slate in some way, shape, or form, so to speak, of being in the optimal lineup. How are you feeling about the Kansas City ancillary guys?
Yeah, I mean, like I already said, like I think Juju and Samaje Perine, but like Hopkins, I think is fine, you know, at cost because he's only 4,400. I feel like Hollywood Brown is going to get squeezed some because of kind of where he sits at 5,400. Like it just kind of depends on the lineup that you're building. Because if you're going a little bit more heavy, especially if you're paying up for one of the more expensive captains like Hurts or Barkley or Mahomes, like it's going to be a little bit harder to get into that range because you're going to want to fit in a couple of the little bit more expensive guys. So you're going to have to cause yourself to pay down a lot more. So, but with Hopkins, like I've said, it's just the fact of they've kind of just haven't had any look. They haven't even really looked for him. I mean, he's had what did he see, like one catch last week? Like they just haven't utilized him at all, you know, in the playoffs, and they've been perfectly okay with doing it. And so like, I especially cause he's going to be like extremely low owned. Like I'm always, especially in showdown, like, I mean, if he catches a 30-yard touchdown, he's probably optimal at $4,400. So I definitely want some exposure to DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if I would be overweight to the field on it, but like, I think having, you know, maybe 15-20%, depending on how much you're playing, I definitely think I want some exposure to D-Hop because like you said, the Chiefs spread the ball around so much, like any one of these guys can get there. And so I don't want to just limit myself on that. And so, yes, I think Hopkins definitely does make some sense, you know, at cost at $4,400 because he's just one of the more cheap, you know, options here. But he's also just not running a lot of routes either. Like he's running like 30-40% of the routes right now. And it's just kind of odd in the way they're utilizing. So, the other thing I would mention too, like you guys were talking about Saquon, is that they don't utilize him as a pass catcher. Like he's only seen more than five targets once all year. It's kind of weird, but it's just because Jalen Hurts just doesn't look to check down. If he's not going to be there, he just takes off. And so that's the other fact that worries you because like I said, like a Christian McCaffrey last year, he did nothing really on the ground. It was all through the air, and maybe they change it up a little bit, and utilize him more, you know, in that space. But if they don't, like, If they do fall behind, then Saquon can be a little bit like Derrick Henry, where he could get a little bit game scripted a little bit. But so that's the other fact that would worry me a little bit with Saquon. But like I said, Saquon has the highest upside of probably any player on the slate. Like he could absolutely nuke and score, you know, 40 points. Like it's definitely in the range of outcomes. But at cost, like I think that's another thing to take into consideration when it comes to Saquon. But in terms of, like I said, the Chiefs pass catchers, like if I was going to rank them like the, you know, the Hollywood Brown and down, I would probably put Juju Smith-Schuster at one. And then I would probably put Hollywood at two and then D-Hop at three. And then, you know, that's probably the way I would look at it.
And that's coming from the D-Hop truther there himself as well.
You can only chase things so much, right? Where you finally like, hey, maybe let's get off this. Like I don't see a world where he's going to see like eight or nine targets. Like, I don't think that's going to
happen. No.
Like I think it's going to take like, you know, busted coverage. He catches a 30-yard touchdown or something like that for him to kind of get there. I don't see them utilizing him that much in terms of that. So I want exposure because it's the Chiefs and they do spread their ball around so much, but I don't want to go overweight. Like, I think if I was going to go overweight on any one of them, it would be Juju Smith-Schuster because of everything I said, the way that they utilized him last week is very Rashee Rice, very quick, you know, quick action stuff. And I think that's the way they're going to utilize him again. He's probably their best option for those things, especially over the middle of the field. They haven't really wanted to utilize Xavier Worthy that way. Like they're not really sitting him out over the middle of the field. So I think that's where, like, once they did that last week, it was like, okay, like it made sense for why they were doing that because he's the only guy they really have that could do that. That's not DeAndre Hopkins' game. And you know, Hollywood Brown is also another small wide receiver. Like you're not going to ask those guys to do that. And so it comes down to like Noah Gray or him as the other option if they take away Travis Kelce. And so that's where I just think Juju, especially at cost, like he doesn't really need to do a whole lot to get to that point.
Yeah. All right, mark it down, Maddie. So Kev is off of Hopkins this week. So Hopkins scores first touchdown.
First and last.
First and last touchdown. Get our parlays in. You go all. Shout out to you, man, being in the chat tonight. We appreciate it. Yeah, remember when Joe Mixon, burned Kansas City? I do remember. I do remember that quite well because I had one team with him out of 20. It was tough. And yeah, we know what Saquon's profile is. So if he's able to find the end zone and do what he does, I think he'll definitely be in the lineup. But then it just becomes if you really wanted him in the flex, so to speak, or if you wanted him in that captain spot, because he's just doing everything under the sun to keep Philly in that game. So that's just the conundrum there. Before I got two more things for you guys, and then we could probably build this lineup out, because this is a fun one to discuss and to build for. But running backs outside of Saquon for Philly. You did mention Kenneth Gainwell there. He did have that concussion, Kev, and then he's been back at practice, so it looks like he's going to play. I believe he only has one career playoff touchdown, which seems kind of weird, but he's kind of been in the mix for Philly, for quite some time. And then Will Shipley, he gets the garbage time run last week, and seems to be a fan favorite for people. But is there any? Is Maddie, you play one lineup, so I see you shaking your head. I don't know if you'll get to them, but Kev, would you be getting into any of these guys just from an exposure standpoint? And if so, who would it be if you didn't have Saquon, or if you did have Saquon, what's going to be the merit for you getting those guys in lineups?
Probably Kareem Hunt, just because the role, he's going to have the short yard stuff, that's especially in the red zone, he's going to be the red zone guy. I wouldn't be surprised either if they try to utilize him some too, as a pass catcher, and he's not expensive. I mean, $6,400 on Showdown to get a starting running back for a team, at $6,400, it's not something you typically see. We usually see guys even in split backfields that are $8,000-$9,000on Showdown slate. So $6,400, it's not restrictive whatsoever. And like I said, the Chiefs do a lot of different things in the playoffs. So, and he's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. That's something they haven't quite utilized them that much as an option there. So, but maybe that's something that they decide to do a little bit more. So, yeah, I mean, Kareem Hunt's definitely in play as an option. It's not a great, matchup play because, like I said, on the ground, I don't expect him to do a whole lot. It's the hope that maybe they decide to utilize him a little bit more as a pass catcher. But he'd be the guy because, again, once you get down inside the goal line, they're going to give him some opportunities. He can score a couple touchdowns. So he's definitely in play at cost. But it would be him. He's probably the only one. I just can't see Isaiah Pacheco at this point doing a ton. Just that injury he's coming off of, we've kind of talked about it a lot. Typically guys coming off that injury, Mark Andrews, Tony Pollard, all these dudes, for the first half, almost more than that of the seasons, it took them to finally kind of get back to being themselves. So I don't think that it's probably next year before Isaiah Pacheco's back to being who he was prior to that injury. So I don't expect a ton from Isaiah Pacheco.
Okay. And what about Philly backup running backs? Any interest there at all?
No, not really. I think you're going to see Saquon just see all the touches in the world. Kenneth Gainwell probably will get some run, but he would have to get some garbage or some miracle, just random touchdown that you weren't expecting.
And even if something did happen to Saquon, they're not just going to turn around and hand the ball off to Kenneth Gainwell the entire game. At that point, they would be like, okay, we've got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. We're going to go win the Super Bowl with our dudes. We're not going to hand the ball off to Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah, in a tough matchup. Yeah, for sure. I hear you. All right, boys, let's do some quick hitters real quick before we get into build the lineup. Shout out to everybody who's been rocking along with this DGEN Nation pod. We're breaking down the Super Bowl showdown picks here for DraftKings. If you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure to check out that description. Find the Discord link in there. We want to have you in there. It's been a fun season, fun fantasy season to be able to chop it up with you guys. And this stuff doesn't sleep just with the Super Bowl. We got the draft coming up. We got Dynasty Talk that's already been going on, so definitely check out that link to be able to get in there, and shout out to you guys who've been walking along with us all season long at the late hours of the night to be able to get after these spots. It's just at the 1 hour mark right there, so I think we'll get the people out in a respectable time. But I got some quick hitters for your boys real quick. So favorite captain, Maddie, who you got?
Smitty.
Kev?
I'm gonna go Mahomes.
Okay, I love it. I love it. And yeah, I think it's Kelsey for me. But yeah, it's going to be fun. Fun now when we build out this lineup to see where we go. Maddie, who's your favorite pass catcher on Philly?
Smitty.
Who's your favorite pass catcher on Kansas City?
It's got to be Kelsey.
Okay. Kev, favorite pass catcher on Philly?
I'm going to go A.J. Brown.
Okay. What about KC?
Actually, no. I'm going to go, well, pass catcher. I'm going to go Dallas Goedert, actually. I'm going to go Goddard.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Chiefs, I'm going to go Xavier Worthy.
Okay. And, yeah, I think for me it's the tight ends on both, I guess. I do like Goddard. For sure, for the price discount. Could be coming around to Smitty, too. But, yeah, I'm going to have to get to Kelsey, too, although the Worthy – I might have to figure out how to get him and Worthy both in there because it makes it tough. Okay, what else did I want to say? Who do you guys like – who do you guys like 5K and under in the flex?
Maddie? Why don't we do this? Because these are quicker and a lot easier. Why don't we do a Saquon build just to see what it looks like? At captain,
let's do it,
and then we'll do one non while fading Saquon. So that's what we talked about a lot.
Let's do it.
All right,
I'm down.
Saquon in the flex, 6,400 is left per, or Saquon in the captain, so 6,400 left per flex. Maddie, you want to take it?
Mahomes,
I'm gonna go Goddard.
All right, I'll go Juju. So 7,100 for you guys per position.
There's a couple of ways you can go here. You can go Hunt and Smitty. You can go Worthy or Kelsey and Butker. I don't really care which path. Yeah, I'll let you guys decide which of those paths. I'm cool with either. So it'd be Worthy or Kelsey plus Butker or Kareem plus Smitty. With Saquon being in there, no hurts, and already playing Goddard, I lean the Worthy or Kelsey plus Kareem. And that's a 2v4 build with Saquon captain, which makes all the sense in the world, because if Saquon's your captain, you just need him to be the one smashing and nobody else.
Well, you can't fit Kelsey and Kareem, huh?
I'm sorry, Kelsey and Butker.
I like the Kelsey Butker one, actually.
That's probably what I would do of those options. Yeah.
Because it makes all the sense in the world. If you're playing Saquon, like, you don't even need to worry about who you have on Philly because correct. You're hoping he gets – or Saquon captain, you're hoping he gets all the touchdowns. So if Goddard ends up getting into one, you're okay not having Hurts.
Yep.
And then you just hope that, like, it's a close enough game where Butker gets production. Saquon scoring touchdowns. Jake Elliott doesn't kick field goals.
All the yards for the Chiefs are underneath Juju and Kelsey.
Yeah.
Chiefs kick field goals.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I probably would personally go Worthy and Butker, but I know you guys are higher on Kelsey. I'm not that I'm low on Kelsey. I just like Worthy a little bit more.
Yeah.
But, which, you know, I think either also, one of those are.
Well,
think
you
the
could.
Worthy one is solid.
Honestly, the Worthy instead of Kelsey also leaves you with 1,200 remaining, right. And you're going to run into less dupes that way.
Yeah,
I would just play Worthy, honestly.
When it comes to showdown, is certainly not something you want to try to actively, like, I have to use all my salary. I would definitely right. not look to do that.
Yeah, like, I would probably play the Worthy side.
I mean, there's been slates where I've left 3-4K sitting on the table on lineups, but yeah. this isn't one of those. I think you want to do that, but yeah, I think, you know, 1,500, 1,200, whatever, perfectly okay. And it's going to make you a little bit more different. So that's
all right. There's our Saquon captain lineup. So Saquon in the captain spot with Mahomes, Goddard, Juju, Worthy, and Butker, leaving $1,200 on the table.
I like that team.
Get that entered in. And then one without Saquon, right? In general?
Yeah.
All right, Kev, since this was your suggestion, who are we playing at captain?
Go Mahomes.
I love it because that's where I was going to go. So I'm going Kelsey in the flex.
I'm going to do something that you guys probably didn't or going to think about that I would do. Something that I've talked about in the past, though, is when Mahomes has hit his ceiling, he sometimes takes the running back with him. So I like Kareem.
Let's do it. And we know that can definitely happen. little swing.
Yeah,
pass,
he can easily catch two touchdowns.
Take one in.
Mahomes runs right. One in or something.
65-33 left for three positions. Where are we going, Kev?
I guess you could still do it. I mean, this is kind of off the wall, but okay. Jalen Hurts.
Oh, this is going to end up in the obvious build for this build, but that's okay because it still leaves salary on the table.
Well, depends on what you do. You could go, this is what I was talking about. Like, you get Devonta Smith and pair him with Hurts on this. That leaves 1,800. And you could go P. Ryan, who I kind of talked about as an option. I mean, you could go off the wall with Justin or with Justin Watson. I mean, that dude seems to get involved as an option too.
Yeah.
Who do you want to play, Matty?
I personally like the Goddard Juju combo in that with those two leftover, those two yeah. spots. But for showdown, if you're playing it in a massive contest, the upside of the Smitty side is much bigger. Like Smitty Watson, you get a random Watson TD and Smitty goes for 25.
Because with the Hurts and Goddard, you could go Juju. You could play Noah Gray. There's enough there for that. You could do that too.
I kind of like the Smitty side and just getting weird at one position. I'm telling you, I think something. Like, I think when you get to the end of it, you're like, man, I never would have played that team or like that guy or those combos of guys. I just think something wonky is going to happen. So I like P. Ryan. I mean, it's the same reason I like Kareem, right? Mahomes captain, a lot of times he takes the running back with him because the running backs can catch touchdowns when they're down and close.
And if you wanted to like mess around with it, I mean, you could drop from Kareem Hunt and go to like Hollywood Brown or whatever that you have enough. Obviously you can easily do that. And like, there's different ways to play around with this last part of it, but yeah,
no, I'm good with Watson in there. I would honestly like it uses all the salary, but I wouldn't be opposed to using Dotson, to be honest with you, like at 1600. Cause he has the profile to be able to catch, you know, a touchdown just as much as Justin Watson does. And we have Hurts in the lineup. But that loses all the salary. So, I mean, the chances of that being duped, you know,
with
probably
the
in a big field.
Captain. Yeah, with the chalkiest captain.
Yeah, with the chalkiest captain, it'll be duped. But in single entry, though, it might not without having Saquon in there at all. So it's an interesting piece. I think Jahan Dotson is an interesting play we really didn't touch on. I would play him or Johnny Wilson, just hope to get a touchdown, honestly, in large field tournaments if I had Hurts exposure. But I like getting to Watson with the Mahomes captain and get the touchdown that way. 1,200 on the table left. So that's Mahomes captain with Kelce, Hunt, Hurts, Devonta, and then Watson. And 1,200 left. That's nice. That's nice. Yeah, it's a showdown's always fun to build for. So yeah, just don't be afraid to take chances. Definitely don't be afraid to leave money on the table, especially if you're playing in, you know, larger field tournaments, even the single entry tournaments. Though, for sure, to do something where if you set up yourself for success with a couple positions, you could be okay just to take that one chance and hope to hit on that guy. But guys, it's been a fun season. I can't believe that this is going to do it for DFS from the football standpoint, but it's been fun to be back in the seats with the boys, chopping it up with the DGen Nation podcast. It's been fun to have everybody along for the ride this season, and definitely a fun one that's been in the book. So we'll be excited to see how Showdown shakes out on Super Bowl Sunday as we break down the Showdown picks for you guys for Super Bowl Sunday. Maddie, Kev, any last words for the people before we sign out one last time for the season?
Favorite flavor wing, go.
Ooh,
that's what I was gonna ask. Like, what do you guys do? First, what are you guys doing? Are you guys doing anything for the Super Bowl? I know maybe Ryan, you may not be, but
yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be posted up at home with a new baby girl. Welcome to the family and welcome that in. But speaking of wings, it might be a wing stop order.
Ooh, okay, lemon pepper
Sunday for us. Lemon pepper is
gotta
a good
get
one.
The lemon pepper.
They definitely have a good, you know, they have a good spicy buffalo, and there's one other one that's a spicy one I'm going to forget off the top of my head, but Wingstop definitely hits, man. You know, those commercials start coming on, and I think they definitely got a wrap on the wing market for right now. So yeah, I'll have to hit that up for sure.
Matt, are you going anywhere?
My wife's uncle is hosting. He's hosted the last couple of years over at his house, so.
Yeah, we're going over to a friend of ours that on the baseball team, whatever that I coach. We're going over there. We went over there last year. It's a lot of fun. So we're going over there. But yeah, I mean, wings, can never go wrong with wings.
No.
I will definitely agree. I think Wingstop is definitely clear as like Buffalo Wild Wings and stuff.
Oh,
like
that. Buffalo Wild Wings is bottom tier.
The only thing, I think the Buffalo Wild Wings, I do like their like Caribbean Jerk, and I like their Asian Zing, like both of those.
Mm-hmm. Asian Zing is good.
Yeah,
but like their actual wings are nowhere close.
Their sauces are good. Yes, the quality of chicken in the wings are not good.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they put in that ranch at Wingstop, but it is magical.
It is.
And then their fries, and I think they put there. Like sugar or something, like a little bit of sugar or something on their fries.
Yeah,
it is really good.
Yeah, their fries are fire too. You guys probably sold it for me. Wingstop is going to be the choice. I'm going to have to send the group picture.
Yeah, you have to let us know
about that. It's going to be a fun one, boys. Can't wait to chop it up with you guys in the Twitter streets, and can't wait to get after it with the people as well too. Again, link we'll in the description for the Discord. Go ahead, Kev.
I was going to say we'll have to maybe. I know we talked about it last year, and somebody messaged me about it, and somebody left them on red, but. About it last year during the off season, but we'll have to try to do some best ball streams over the summer. Like,
definitely.
I definitely want to really focus more. And I know Maddie like reached out to me and like, hey, we should do some best ball stuff.
I thought that's what you were referencing, but we
should definitely do that. Like, fire up some drafts and stuff like that for best ball, because I really want to get into even more best ball this year. Like, Underdog and everything else was crushing, so
yeah,
definitely have to do some best ball stuff.
I just like to do it as we get close to the season. I'm not one of those early drafters. I can't.
Oh, you're not now? Like, yeah, they have drafts open now.
Yeah, no, Medi's
the best ball, bro. Don't let him fool you.
I need, give me to at least back half of July and August.
Yeah, I mean, things start to shake out a lot more and everything else.
I just need all the information.
There's definitely edges if you can jump on now. And I think there's some edges you can get, like, if you're really digging into like the prospects and stuff like that, you're going to get a much better value from them, or a much better cost versus what they're going to cost whenever we get to, like, who knows? Like, I think Ashton Jeansy will probably like drafted like the second or third round, stuff like that.
Depending on where he goes for sure.
Yeah. So,
well, he's going to Dallas. So, I mean, just go ahead.
Or the Raiders. The Raiders, you know, could take him.
Jerry will trade up for him. Jerry wants his guy.
So, football.
Fun stuff, boys. Fun stuff. Well, yeah, the season's been fun. It's been fun kicking it with the DJ Nation crew, the DJ Nation fam. Much love to everybody as always. Appreciate you guys rocking along with us. Signing off for Maddie D, Maddie DFS, Maddie 2v2, Maddie Gets Buckets, and Maddie DFS is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Signing off for Fantasy Rat 13, Kevin Steele, that's the Godfather. Fantasy Rare 13 on Twitter and X is where you can find them, and myself, Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W. We can't wait to get after it with you guys next year, another season. But until then, hit us up. We appreciate all the love. Good luck to you guys in the Super Bowl streets there. Bet responsibly, and make sure you guys get after it. Have some fun, but get that money. Until then, peace. You know who you're talking to. Turn the way the war bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. DJ Rushina. DJ Rushina. Think you're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man.